The lesson tonight is Christ's sovereignty over sickness. The passages are Matthew 8, 14 to 17, Mark 1, 29 to 34, and Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 41. Our passage tonight we're going to be using is Luke 4, 38 to 41. When Israel's Messiah was predicted to come, Isaiah had foretold that he would bear our infirmities and sorrows, but actually referred to his healing of souls and giving salvation to men. This work would be accomplished on the cross, but in anticipation of that work, Christ healed many people's physical illnesses in his earthly ministry, illnesses that were the effects of sin. One event that dramatically demonstrated Christ's infinite divine sovereignty over physical sickness occurred in his healing of Peter's mother-in-law, as recorded in Matthew 8, 14 to 17, Mark 1, 29 to 34, and Luke 4, verses 38 to 41. So we view this event from the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke for our insight and edification. I want to look at the passage that we have in Luke 4, 38 to 41, and then we'll get into the lesson. Luke 4, beginning to verse 38. And Jesus arose out of the synagogue, that's at Capernaum, and he entered into Simon's house, or Peter's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had sick, or were sick with any divers diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Messiah, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not permit them to speak, for they knew that he was the Messiah. And when it was day, he departed. And we'll get into that next time. It's interesting, Christ's sovereignty over sickness. According to the Mosaic covenant, physical illness was like a fever for Hebrews in the dispensation of the law, was God's discipline for sin. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 said, if you disobey the Lord, if you sin against the Lord, all these problems will come upon you. And one of the problems in verse 22 is fever, very specifically named. That's what this lady had. So when Jesus was then asked by his disciples to heal Peter's Hebrew mother-in-law of the fever, he addressed her need as an act of God's unmerited favor towards her. And that was a demonstration of his great grace. Remember back in John 1, 16 and 17, and of his grace have we all received grace piled upon grace. So any of these healings of Jews or casting out of demons, which is amazing, of Jewish people, was an act of grace on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they had these maladies under the law because of sin. Now today when Christians have maladies, it's not necessarily because of a specific sin that they've done. We have physical weaknesses and illnesses as a product of sin in general. But under the law, it was because of specific sins, except in a rare case, for example, when a man was born blind or born with an illness. That was all for the glory of God. We learned that from John chapter 9, other passages. But anyway, in this particular case, it was a gracious act of the Lord Jesus. Now, the infinitely gracious sovereignty and power of the incarnate God over illness is seen in this event. In Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 30, twice is used the word immediately, and the Greek word for that is euthus, to describe an emergency that arose right after Christ's ministry in the synagogue at Capernaum. Peter's mother-in-law was seriously ill with a fever. So immediately, euthus, after Jesus had finished speaking, likely when he was still in the synagogue, the disciples had asked Jesus to come and heal Peter's relative, and he had responded by immediately, euthus again, leaving the synagogue and entering Peter's home where she lay ill. In fact, in one of the passages it says he arose. See, when they taught in the synagogue in those days, they sat down to teach. You stood up to read the Word of God, because that's the inspired text. But when you preached, you sat down. So Jesus stood up and went. So he apparently was asked right after he had finished ministering the word of God. So this is an emergency situation. Now Luke's record, and remember Luke was the beloved physician according to Colossians chapter 4 verse 14. It describes how this was a life-threatening illness. Peter's mother-in-law had suffered for some time, seen by Luke's use of the verb ein. That's the imperfect tense, was being, over a period of time, from the verb aimi, am, that is used with a passive participle, synecomene. In other words, she, over a period of time, had been afflicted with this situation. It was for an extended period. Now remember, Peter would have been in his 20s, middle 20s, possibly at this particular point. So his mother-in-law probably would have been 40s or 50s. And in those days, people lived to be about 65 and they died. So this was a woman who was viewed as middle-aged or even older. And so she wasn't, as I say, a spring chicken. There was a weakness there in regards to her immune system already. So this is a dangerous situation, and she'd been afflicted with this for some time. Now she was experiencing a pretomegalo, a severe fever. Preto is the word fever. Megalo is the adjective that describes it after the noun. This is often what Spanish does. It's a fever, severe, but we say severe fever. And it's dangerous even for a short period of time and life-threatening for an extended period of time that this middle-aged or elderly woman had been ill. She might have had like 105 or 104, 106. It was high. It was dangerous. It's something that you want to try to bring down, especially in a child. A child, it's a very, very dangerous thing. But Mark 1:31 claims that Jesus took her hand. Mark 8:15 reports that he touched her. And Luke chapter 4, verse 39, claims that Jesus bent over her. So to harmonize that, what he did, he bent over, and he touched her by picking her hand up. So he bent over and he picked up her hand. He touched her hand and held it in his hand. And what he did, he picked up her hand. Then Jesus rebuked the fever, and it left her. The word left is in the aorist tense, and it left immediately. Boom. But a lot more than that, notice the health the Lord Jesus infused into this woman. However, Luke then used the verb parakrima. That's another word for immediately, but it's kind of like our word on the spot, instantly, with emphasis. Parakrima. To tell how Peter's mother-in-law instantly arose from where she had been lying near death for some time with a dangerously high fever and was ministering. Diakone, it's the imperfect tense. She was in ministering for an extended period of time. Now, every woman that I've known will tell me when it comes to entertaining guests, that takes a lot of energy. It takes emotional energy. There's physical energy. You have to prepare things. This woman was involved in this. She got up off of that bed. She had been lying there near death, and she had so much energy. Her immune system was completely rejuvenated by the Lord, that for a period of time, she was serving. She was going around saying, we have to get a meal for you guys. So you see her cooking a meal and getting everything ready. This woman was full of energy. The Lord Jesus had done a tremendous work. She ministered. She was ministering. She was serving. She was attending upon them, unto Jesus and the household for some period of time. This is not only her household, but this is also the disciples that were with the Lord Jesus. So she not only lacked a fever, but her immune system, her energy had been completely instantly restored to where she was so full of energy that she ministered for an extended period of time, entertaining Jesus and the other disciples as guests. Now you can imagine news of this would spread fast. And it did. And that's exactly what happened. News of this event and Christ's exorcism of the demon that had occurred in the synagogue circulated rapidly, and by sunset, multitudes with similar needs had gathered at the house of Peter and Andrew, seeking the release others had experienced from demon possession and disease. Incidentally, Peter's house, they think that they've actually discovered it, because in the early days, there was a church that was actually put there in Capernaum on that spot. And underneath, they have found some things like fish hooks and whatnot, so it belonged to somebody who had been a fisherman as well, but it later was turned into a church. It would make sense that they would make a church out of Peter's home, but it was right there in that area. But In fact, we know from the next verse it was until the wee hours of the morning the next day he was casting out demons. Imagine this, the tremendous grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all who came to Jesus seeking help received it. In the cases of exorcism, Jesus did not allow the demons to cry out that he was the Messiah and the Son of God in ways that would discredit his reputation, or that people would learn from demons his identity, but that people would learn from his miracles his true identity in accordance with the Old Testament prophecy. Not only Luke chapter 4, verse 41, but in Matthew 11, 2-6, when John was questioning whether or not Jesus was the Messiah, he was having second thoughts, he was in jail. And to him, this isn't the kingdom. We're supposed to have the kingdom with the Messiah. Why am I in jail? And Jesus sent back to him, and he quoted Isaiah 35, 5 and Isaiah 61, 1, which talked about healing of the lame, the gospel being preached to the poor, the raising of the dead, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. So they were supposed to learn from the fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus was the Messiah. They were not supposed to learn it from demons. So that's another reason Jesus brought that up. So the lesson is Jesus demonstrated his infinitely gracious sovereignty and power as the Messiah and incarnate God in both healing the sick and exorcising demons, that Israel's people might believe in him for salvation. You can see how at the end of the life of Christ, the entire nation was absolutely without excuse for not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, later, as Jesus was on his way up to Jerusalem, he's encountered by blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus had no sight. Everything he knew about Jesus was from hearsay. And he had been hearing what the rabbis had been teaching about the coming of God and Isaiah 35 and whatnot. And then he'd heard about these miracles by Jesus. So that's why he called out Jesus, Son of David, which is a messianic term, have mercy on me. So if a blind man knew that Jesus was the Messiah just from what he heard, then every other Jew in Israel, from what they had heard, only had heard, they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. But Jesus abundantly demonstrated his credentials here before the people. So, number one in application, may we believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Son of God due to his words and works. And two, if God wills that we serve him as Peter's mother-in-law did, may we trust him to handle our physical needs to that end. It was apparently the will of God that this woman serve longer. And so he raised her up. And so this is why, as a Christian, I think we shouldn't be concerned about illnesses or diagnoses and things that we get. God has a timetable for our lives. He knows exactly how long he wants us to live, how long he wants us to serve him. But if he provides us the health, we need to go with it as long as we can. I was talking with a young man who's grown up in our church today in Fellowship Hall after the sermon. And he was talking to me, and he was expressing to me his wish. He's getting ready to go to a college or a university. And he said, I don't want to waste my life. I want to use my life for the Lord. And he said, I don't want to just spin my wheels here in life. And I said, that's a great attitude. For someone who's 17, 18 years of age, God bless you and go with it. Because when you get to my age, and if you serve the Lord and you've made that commitment going back to when you were still in high school and getting ready to graduate, then you're not going to regret it at all. But he pointed out, he says, I've been thinking about eternity. I can't wrap my head around eternity, but I know that, you know, there's an eternity out there. And I want to serve the Lord in such a way because I'm looking for the eternal rewards. This life is too short. And even at age 18 and 17, he sees it. It's too short. It's over with like that. And so he wanted to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. And I thought, boy, that's great. And this fits with the message that we have here tonight. This mother-in-law still had some time left on God's clock for her. So Jesus healed her. And as soon as he healed her, she got up and she started serving. That was her calling. She was a woman of a household. She was serving the Lord Jesus. Doesn't get any better than that. Serving Jesus and some of the men who were going to be the original apostles had a privilege of serving them. Of course, she would never have forgotten that for the rest of her life. But That's what God wants us to do. Sickness is something that we need to handle. We need to do the best that we can to keep our bodies healthy, granted. But there's some illnesses that come along as a result of the effects of sin that we can't take care of. Okay, that's up to the Lord. And if he wants us to take us home to glory prematurely, fine. If he doesn't, if he wants to elongate it, that's fine too. But what we need to do is to focus on the will of God for our lives, and then he will meet our physical needs. We talk about the Lord meeting our financial needs. He'll meet our physical needs as well. What we need to do is just trust him.